All right, welcome to another episode of the Skulls of Wrath fake radio show, a heavy metal podcast, a bunch of stuff. Now, we're going to do something slightly different on the show today, different for 2019 at least. We're going to start off with a Kiwi Forge metal segment. It's been kicked off thanks to some Dunedin death metal and some progressive metal from Hamilton. I need at least two to kick this thing off. But the difference is coming in, the new thing, I should say, for 2019 is we're going to have a classic interview reissue. So what this is going to be is something originally recorded back in 2009. So it's, I mean, there's a solid 9+ years, not quite 10 years like that online thing going on. So, you know, I guess that thing can suck it at the moment. But this week, it's been a solid 9 and a bit years, probably closer to 9.5, since it originally broadcast on actual radio back in the day. But it is my interview with Tom Araya from Slayer, of course. Catch 22 with fans out there. Of course, it's been long since announced their final farewell tour. Flip side to that is they're trying to hit up practically every corner of the globe. Well, it seems like some sort of manic hunt for every single Slayer fan that ever was. And the shows here in New Zealand coincide, obviously, with their appearance over at the Australian Download Festival. And I think there's a couple of bands, maybe not Slayer, or maybe they are. A couple of bands over in the Download Festival actually aren't making appearances outside of the festival itself. So Kiwi fans potentially rejoice. I need to do my research on that. But they're bringing Anthrax with them. So, you know, half of the big four. There you go. Now, I will say before we get into Kiwi Forge Metal, this is running a little bit late than I had intended, this podcast, the airing of this, the publishing of this, mainly because I had the idea to do this Slayer thing late in the piece. Now, that wasn't so much of an issue, but hunting down the old CD, the 10-year-old CD that it's on, that I'd packed away in an old ice cream container. Here in New Zealand we have plastic ice cream containers, good for storing stuff afterwards. I don't know, maybe overseas, oh, what are they, cardboard, or who knows. So I had to hunt that down, and it's a CD. I have nothing, no computer technology in the house to pull digital files off a CD anymore. I found that out thanks to the hunt to find the CD. I had a hunt to find the CD drive, which they were in different places. And then I had to go through my big box of cables to find the right cable for the CD drive, and only to find out that it didn't work. And there's nothing else in the house. This was on the weekend, so I was like, bah, what am I going to do? And I got a whole ice cream container. I've got a whole bunch of them. A whole bunch more of CD trapped interview files, I guess, from back in the day to potentially air on a podcast. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. Anyway, for this one, I thought, I'll take it into work. The old computer at work has a CD drive on it. I'll sort that out. Put it in when I'm back at work on Monday, first thing in the morning, and got a little bit happy as it sort of the thing opened up, put the CD in, and it closed. Like, oh yes, I'm pressing the buttons, it's all going, not even having to force push it myself. And the LED lights saying, yep, we've got a CD in here, and then it stops. Nothing more. I've got an old work computer, and I've been using it for many, many years. And I guess over that time, it's slowly disconnected itself from the rest of the computer. So I had to resort to asking one of the young guys, kind of more or less a year or two shy out of uni, to chuck into his newer computer, see if he could pull the digital files off the CD. And he can. He can read the CD, and in hilarious fashion, it opens up, and he copies and pastes from the hard media of the CD into an email and flicks it through. And in my email account, I get a new email, and it's just 1 kilobyte, icon files with no information whatsoever. So I had to teach a young early 20s-year-old about CDs, about ripping audio tracks off a CD. In this case, it was work, Windows work, PC. So I had to use Windows setup. I had to set up Windows Media Player to burn the files off and to rip the files off, put on a flash drive, and then go from there. So I get home, yeah, and then so I have to edit all together, and then whole rigmarole through there. I could talk about that if anyone's sort of into that sort of thing. Then, dear me. So all this nonsense took a couple of days of just time. So finally I have a cleaned up digital version of, pulled from the CD of my Slayer interview. I got my show ready to go, record it like a day or two late, so I think it's fine. It went okay. And then I was like, I'll sort it out tomorrow. I've had enough of this for now. Tomorrow comes around, and which was yesterday or the day before, we had a massive power out. This is sort of a, this is not an urban center down here by any means, but we had a massive power out of 4,500 homes and businesses cut of power for a good couple of hours. And not only that, the editing and posting of the old podcast show, which would have been this one at the time, having been delayed, sort of get put off thanks to the power cut. But I also had a call with a man from a band from Finland at 10 p.m. which I had to postpone. Sitting in the dark. So yeah, that's the story behind why this is, at this point, what, 4 or 5, 6 days late, whatever. It's only show 4 of 52. So there's a long way to go before the end of the year. Joy upon joys. But Kiwi Forge Metal now, as I promised. And first out of the furnace, this one's coming from a band out of Dunedin, which I think it's either 3/4 or 2/3 of our listeners are from overseas. Here in New Zealand, we have a North and a South Island and a bunch of other islands as well. But I'm in the South Island, and this is on the lower end of the South Island. There is a wee city called Dunedin, and coincidentally, this one is the closest centre of heavy metal, I guess, you know, things, to where I am right now. It's my current location, which is still a good solid, you know, 3 to 3.5 hour drive away, you know, to give you any context of why I'm sort of complaining about things. Anyway, the band is Chaos Immortis, and they recently released Spiral to Depravity up on YouTube for you to listen to, and I'll put the link wherever I can. But if you're listening to this on somewhere which doesn't have it, the links or anything like that showing up, go check out scalesofwrath.com and look for the show notes for this one. Chaos Immortis, Death Metal, or Episode 4 for 2019 is where it's going to be. It'll be sitting there somewhere. Either I'll just search, you know, Scales of Wrath, whatever, one of those things, or Google it or whatever. I don't know. It'll come up eventually. But just to let you know, Chaos Immortis, they're kind of a thrashy, I guess, more sort of death metal band. You know, it feels more like a project. It's like a better descriptor. Obviously, being a band, but it's like a musical endeavor, a musical project that these guys are, it's a quest these guys are on. Kind of releasing music whose origins sort of go back 30 years ago. So if you take, for example, their last album, Forgotten Tomb, it's online, so you can see it, just on the back cover of the, what would be the CD booklet, is the track listing. It also has all the song, music and lyrics, when and who wrote them. And dates are ranging there for anywhere from 93 to 2012. Even if you look at the track Forgotten Tomb, title track itself, sees Jay Parker, who is leading the charge on for Chaos Immortis, I think. Music for that one was written in 2017, probably around about the time when it was actually recorded, but the lyrics were written in 1983. So yeah, pretty impressive stuff there. So all these songs, like I mentioned kind of briefly there, were recorded, well, certainly for Forgotten Tomb, and I think much the same for ongoing music releases from these guys. They all recorded 2017 to 2018, so they were recently recorded, just written a long time ago, or you know, throughout the last 30 odd years, which is pretty amazing. Which is why I kind of call it more of a project than a... I mean, I'm sure there's an actual band in there somewhere that could do. But, I mean, I think members of... or people sort of involved with Casa Mortis are also in Deathcall, another Dunedin death metal band. And these guys are more active on the gigging front, all that sort of stuff. They're sort of all about the place. So if you wonder, I guess, you know, the similarities, musically speaking, of course. Deathcall be one spot, Castle Mortis another place to go. Some good old classic Kiwi death metal. Now, second up, this is going to be a quick segment. Second up today, we leave the South Island, head up to the north, sort of somewhere in the upper middle north. Where's Hamilton? There's a city called Hamilton, and there's a band there called Seas of Conflict. And they have a new single, Monochopsis. It's a good listen. It's getting all sorts of attention online. There's radio shows, podcasts, and even Spotify playlists are featuring the song left, right, and centre. But thanks to the power of the internet, I don't need a dictionary, an actual dictionary. I can look up dictionary.com to tell you that the title of the song isn't made up, despite the feeling of it. But it actually means... well, it refers to a subtle but persistent feeling of being out of place. If that doesn't blow your mind, as being that has a name, it's like, what's going on? Then, you know, I guess with that insight, these guys are, of course, a progressive metal band. They're from Hamilton, and they did recently release an EP, Vestige, a little while ago, and Monochopsis, this new single, is not on there. It's just new stuff. So what I'm saying is, if you like what you hear with the new single, there's something else for you to go chew on back there. The, you know, other stuff for them to work from. Back catalog, I think, is what I'm trying to awkwardly get at. So there we go. So that's a quick roundup of a couple of Kiwi metal band songs that I came across in the last week or so. So just to summarize, to round up. First up, we had some classic crunchy death metal from Castle Mortis from the South Island, deep in the depths of the South Island. In other words, just down the road from where I am right here. And then we followed that up with some Seeds of Conflict, kind of a more modern take on metal, a progressive metal. Definitely two different ear feels with these two, the two different sort of approaches. You got the death metal with Castle Mortis, is definitely a lot more raw, dirty, as I try to sort of get across there. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of fans for that sort of stuff out there. That's sort of, it's true death metal. It's what some people might say, potentially, online. Who knows? Whereas Seeds of Conflict is... one way I was thinking of describing them, if you chuck them, we're talking about Spotify, chuck them in a playlist of other kind of progressive-y sort of international metal bands, you might lose them. They're not going to stick out there. They're very sort of, they've got that... I'm saying it's a good thing. You know, they've got the international quality about them, so it's good. Sometimes here in New Zealand, we have in other places around the world, might have a little bit of a bias towards your own Kiwi metal, Kiwi music, your own homegrown stuff. But these guys, I was listening to them at work, and then got distracted, and then forgot myself for a second, and then just thought I was listening to... It's like, oh... some sort of Nuclear Blast or some other sort of signed band. No, they're just from Hamilton. Yeah. They're from Auckland, from Hamilton, from New Zealand. So there you go. So that's Kiwi Forge Metal for you there. Coming up now, though, is a classic interview reissue with Slayer 2009. Now, of course, I bring this up. I want to reissue this one in particular because... Slayer's coming to town. I made the mistake of looking at the sort of timing of it all with a few other things going on in mid-March 2019. So basically, if I took a Friday off work and travelled the 1,000 miles north to Auckland, where one of their shows are, so I took a Friday and took 2 days off in Auckland before coming back down. In those 2 days, I could catch not only Slayer and Anthrax, obviously on the one day, but also Ozzy and Judas Priest on the next. So, here's to winning Lotto. Slayer, everyone knows Slayer, no introduction needed, really. Decades-long career, part of the Big Four, well-known for the kind of sinister, evil fascinations, I guess. Bit of a storied past, well-known, and sort of they've got a bit of history with their band members, unfortunate and, you know, rotating kind of things. You've got Tom Araya and Kerry King, it's the sole remaining kind of pair of the classic lineup. And if you go see them in Auckland 2019, you'll probably catch Gary Holt, who will be on guitar from a legendary thrash band in their own right, Exodus. And of course, longtime fill-in drummer Paul Bostoff, who's also a thrasher from way back, making a start with Forbidden. Spent a bit of time with Slayer back in the day, drifted over to some work with Testament for a bit, even Exodus, and then of course back to Slayer again. This year, the band just seem to be stretching out their kind of, as they wrap up their career, they're sort of stretching out this farewell tour. It's already gone through to, when I last checked, August of this year. So it's, you know. But funny enough, not only are they stopping over Download Festival Australia, which is how they're, I guess, managing to make it to New Zealand, they're also doing Download Festival, the original, over in the UK. So that's going to be funny. It'll be interesting to see how many bands over the years. I imagine Download Festival Australia has probably a shelf life of at least 10 years before some sort of hiccup comes along, much like Soundwave has in the past and Big Day Out, and it goes belly up. So, pessimist in me is saying that. Optimist is hoping it lasts forever so I can finally win Lotto and head over there. But anyway, so the interview that I have for you now that you're about to hear was probably mid to late 2009. This was... So in 2009 they released World Painted Blood in, I would say, November, maybe. And they were in New Zealand with Megadeth on tour. Maybe it was, maybe World Painted Blood was released in November, and they're in town, they're in Auckland in October, maybe. They brought along Megadeth with them, because why not, you know? at that time period, that kind of the end of the 2000s was actually quite good for New Zealand Slayer fans, really, on the whole, because, this is 2009, it wasn't too much earlier than that in 2007, that they're back again, they're in town again with, which I think is the end of the tour cycle, the initial tour cycle for Christ Illusion. So effectively you've got, in the span in between albums, we see them twice at the end of the 2000s, and just before World Painted Blood comes out. I remember at the time a few people were actually quite liking that track, that song. That album in general, I guess. 2007, yeah, they're at the St. James with Mastodon. I remember because I was there, very excited. Got a shot actually with the Mastodon guys. Actually, we were sort of hanging out at the back of the St. James, waiting for these guys. You know, the old classic back door, trying to get a photo. And Kerry King walks out and obviously wanting to do something, or very busy. And he said, "Hold on, guys, I'll just be a second," and never see him again until he's on stage. But did manage to catch the, quote-unquote, maybe selfie, I guess, or someone took a photo of me with the Mastodon guys. Super excited I was at the time. But anyway, this is my old terrible-sounding audio, I guess, from 9.5 years ago, really, of me talking with Tom Araya from Slayer. Here on Scars of Wrath. Well, it wasn't Scars of Wrath back then, that's new, but this is the new podcast, Scars of Wrath, so... stuff. And many things. So there we go. How are things with you and Slayer at the moment?
Good. As good as it can be, I guess.
Fair enough. Well, the new Slayer album, World Painted Blood, is it's been told it's got a release date of November 3rd. How are you feeling about this new album?
I think it's fucking awesome. I think it's an awesome album.
Now, what's the process behind making a Slayer album? Is it still, a creative challenge, or is it quite smooth running these days?
No, on this one, on this record, we went in and wrote a lot of the material in the studio while we were recording the album. So, which is kind of, it allowed all of us to have opinions on the song and the music and what was being created. So. And very similar to our first three records with Rick Rubin, where everybody kind of had a voice in what we were doing. Even this time, we did it in the studio, where when we did those records, those three records, we did a lot of collaboration in rehearsal space. You know, what I mean, while we were rehearsing the music.
Wicked. Now it's known that, as you said, a collaborative effort, I guess, especially with the lyrics. I guess what I'm meaning. Yeah. What's it like, guys? Kind of singing songs that people other than you have written.
I don't understand what the issue is with that. Carrie writes songs, I sing them. Jeff writes songs, I sing them. I write songs, I sing them. I'm the singer in the band. No one else outside of Slayer has written a Slayer song, so I don't sing anybody else's songs. I sing what we write as Slayer. And I don't understand. Someone's asked me that before, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, there are so many people in this world that sing other people's songs. I don't understand that. I don't understand that question. Can you explain that question to me?
I'm sorry. I was saying, I guess people are used to the whole singer-songwriter thing, I guess.
I am a songwriter, but, so are Jeff and Carrie. You know what I mean? They write lyrics to songs, and so do I. I'll sing those. We're Slayer, you know what I mean? It's not like the Carrie band or the Jeff. This is Slayer, you know what I mean? We're all writing in Slayer, and I sing songs for Slayer.
Fair enough. Now, it's about 5 or 6 weeks away before the release of the album. I know everything's probably pretty tight-lipped about it, but is there anything you can tell us about it, like sound-wise or the themes, concepts, that sort of thing?
Well, about the album itself, no. The World Painted Blood, the title itself was Jeff came up with that suggestion. And he asked me what I thought, and I thought, wow, it's pretty cool because it's a good title because it's the state of the world. You know what I mean? This is where we're at as a human society on this planet. You know, we're killing each other and it's not stopping. that's how that came up, the album, the title. And then the album work, the record company actually put together ideas and just presented them, and we said, hey, we like this, we don't like that, we like this, we don't like that. And they've been coming to us with ideas on how they want to market their, you know what I mean? They come up with all these things that they want to do. And then, they had this idea, and we're like, all right, well, cool, we like the idea. And then they just kept asking us what we liked and what we didn't like, you know what I mean? And it's come together, but the idea behind it is it's very apocalyptic, Revelations type stuff.
Fair enough. Nothing to do with the upcoming kind of 2012 end of the world Mayan calendar.
Kind of. You know what I mean? It is. It's kind of. But I mean, you look at how things are going in this human society we haven't learned anything. I had lyrics for the song itself, The World Painted Blood, and Jeff was the one that put the song together, you know what I mean? He put the ideas together. But, Carrie's got his songs about, I think you heard, there's one that's already out, there's a song that's already out, it's a song called World, Hate Worldwide?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, it's very typical Slayer, Slayer songwriting, you know what I mean? Spreading hate. I hate you. I hate you guys. I'll kill you. that kind of stuff. The usual Slayer.
Seems to be 4 different covers for the album.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. It is that they came up with these ideas, and And then we just kind of said, hey, we don't like this and we like that. That's the thing. They want to do, they're going to come up with the, they have this whole strategy. You know what I mean? It's just a record company thing. It's got nothing to do with the band other than whether we liked it or not. You know what I mean? But, yeah, they're going to do four. They want to do four different covers. I don't know. What do you know about it before I tell you? Because I don't want to tell you everything.
All I know is I saw a picture of them all four put together. It's a map of the world covered in blood, skulls and bones and that all over it. Yeah, that's about it. All I've know of it so far.
Oh, okay. Well, you know quite a bit. Now you just have to see it.
Yeah. I'm wondering whether I have to go buy four copies of the album now, four different copies, or...
Well, you don't have to. No one's telling you you have to. But that's, like I said, you know, that's a record company thing, you know what I mean? They're doing that kind of stuff to see, because they want to sell records, you know what I mean? They want to sell merchandise, so they came up with this great plan, and we're like, all right, well, you know, and we know there's some people out there that are going to buy all four, just to have the four, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would do that. But that's, you know, that's me, you know what I mean? And then there's people out there that would do that, but... You don't have to buy all the records. I would be happy if you just bought one.
There you go. The release date was announced as being in, what was it, like October or something before. Why the delays in releasing it? Was it like a record company thing, or was there problems somewhere?
Yeah, it's. Let's put it this way. We were hoping for a release as soon as we were done with the Mayhem tour here in the U.S., and because of how quick we respond to things, we missed a deadline. So they said that they would prefer to wait until this date so they can plan out a strategy, a sales strategy, sales pitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all. You know, it was all record company. You know, they wanted more time, so they suggested let's wait till this day. So they were able to put together their PR strategy. You know what I mean?
Oh, fair enough. Now on to some New Zealand-based questions. And I was looking at Slayer.net, and it shows that the next show you're actually playing is down here in New Zealand, and then you're going off touring in Australia, Japan, Canada, UK, and Europe, I think. Now, what's life for you at the moment? Are you sort of like back to being a normal person, or do you have are you prepping for the tour coming up? Are you a routine or something like that?
Actually, I'm in LA right now. Oh. Yeah, I'm in LA. Actually, I came in to LA to rehearse. So I'm here for 3 days, and then I'm gonna go home and then come back. But yeah, we're prepping for the tour, and we're going over the set and just go over. Gonna have to go over the album itself to make sure that we're still a little, you know, that we still know it. But yeah, right now we're prepping for the tour. But depending on how much time I have at home, I usually like spending the time with my family when I'm at home.
Fair enough.
My kids are grown now and never really, you know, I try to, when I'm at home now, I spend as much time as I can with them because in the earlier part of their lives, we were doing so much, I was never really home.
Well, the last time you were down here in New Zealand was back in about mid-early 2007 with Mastodon. I know you're down here with Megadeth. It's only about 2.5 years between visits. Is this something New Zealand fans can expect, like being like New Zealand being added onto an Australian tour, or is it sort of more of a management decision to add us on?
I think it'd be fucking great if we went every year. you know what I mean? But... it's like management. We have an agent who handles our international shows, and he's, you know, basically, if people call him with offers, you know, why is he when our agent gets offers? You know, we say, hey, listen, we have an offer to do this, or we have an offer to do that. You know, I was kind of surprised that we're going to be going back to Australia. So I was kind of like, cool. Maybe, you know, maybe we can make it a yearly thing, which would be awesome.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah. It would be.
No, you mentioned earlier you're practicing and getting ready for your tour with the getting your set list together. What is the set list like for this show? Is it a good mix of old and new? And obviously to be the Slayer sort of staples like Angel of Death and that sort of thing, but is it a good mix?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, you're going to like the set. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're going to play some great songs because we have great songs. No, we're going to, it's going to be a good set. Yeah, you know, it'll be a strong set. A really, really good one.
I haven't written this down. I just sort of came up. How are you feeling about coming down with Megadeth?
You know, it's something that the kids want to see. The fans want to see that. You know what I mean? They would prefer to see that kind of a show. You know what I mean? They want Megadeth and Slayer to play together. They want Megadeth, Slayer, and Metallica to play together. You know what I mean? The fans, you know, the metalheads, they're all into this, and they want to see that. They're dying to see it. And it's good business, you know what I mean? You know, I don't really care much for the guy, but you know, the fans really want to see this, and that's why you come out and you play, because you want your audience to have fun and enjoy themselves.
Now, was it beginning of last year you won a Grammy for The Final Six, and I think the year before that for Eyes of the Insane? How do you feel about the Grammys and winning them and being nominated for a few others as well?
I think it's cool. I think it's pretty cool because it's a very exclusive club. You know what I mean? The Grammys. It's a very exclusive club. There aren't too many people that are in it. So I'm very honored to be a part of that exclusive club. You know what I mean? And then to be acknowledged by your peers, especially in the business, you know, in this music business, because the type of music this band plays, and you know, and our reputation of the band, or just what follows the band, you know what I mean? For the industry to take notice and to acknowledge us, to me, that's awesome. I, you know, and what's even better is that we've got our first Grammy was a song that I wrote. That was the best thing about that Grammy, that first Grammy, because it was the song that I wrote lyrically. I wrote the song. Jeff wrote it musically. And the second Grammy we got was a song that Jeff had wrote together, but I helped him put it together. You know what I mean? So that made it worthwhile for me.
Next year, 2011, essentially spells about 30 years since you guys formed and got together. And there's no, well, as far as I can tell, no outward signs of slowing down, and also, you guys have maintained a relatively stable lineup throughout your career.
Yeah.
Basically, I've got two questions here on both of those accounts. Like, how do you manage that? I mean, how has Slayer managed to maintain their vitality, I guess, lack of a better word? And how have you guys managed to remain as sort of like a core unit when other bands are bloody coming and going, members are coming and going all the time?
Yeah, well, they've never understood the meaning of compromise. You know what I mean? I was talking to my sister earlier today, and because she was working on stuff, and she told me, she said the one thing that she thought that was really neat about us when we were, you know, when we were together, when we were forming the band and coming up with music and practicing, and then you know, and she even remembers the day that we came up with this new music that she had never heard before. You know what I mean? And she was telling me that the one thing that she really admired about the four of us was that we were devoted to the band. We showed so much devotion that we really didn't pay attention to what we were doing and where we were going. We were too busy putting our time and energy into the band to concern ourselves with that. You know what I mean? And that was the one thing that she thought that she admired about the band. That she thought that it was, you don't see that. You don't see devotion in too much devotion into things like. Because you guys just devoted your energy and your time to it, and next thing you know, you're here, you know, 28 years later. And I have to take my hats off to her, because I think she's pretty dead on. We devoted our lives to the band and music, and never really worried about where we were going. We just sort of did it. You know what I mean? Mm. And then compromise. You know, you have to compromise. And I think that's the biggest part, you know, and that's the part that you know, people kind of like, you know, And me myself, I was sitting there thinking about that. You know, you got four guys on stage, and they're all playing their part to create this one piece of music. You know what I mean? That takes a lot. It takes a lot for any band that has succeeded and stuck together and stuck it out. It takes a lot. It takes a special kind of person to do that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And I lucked out when I met up with them. You know what I mean? They showed up. I had 13 songs that I learned, and they showed up, and we jammed them out, and, you know, we never even practiced before, you know, and we just jammed them out, you know, and that, to me, was, I just looked at them and said, I'm in. You guys obviously are serious. I'm in. And that's just how it was. I mean, I was very lucky to hook up with the three of them, because it's, you know, we're still together. Dave left, came back, and it's no different. You know what I mean? It's still the same band.
I read on the internet a little while ago that World Pain and Blood is the first in a trilogy, which will spell that, you know, there'll be the last three Slayer albums. Is there any truth to this?
A first in a trilogy? Where'd you hear that?
Wikipedia.
What's that?
Heard it on Wikipedia. Something to do with Rick Rubin. He's been signed on to do three albums or something, and ending in 2012, the last one, and that'd be the end of Slayer after that, apparently.
Oh, wow. Where'd you read that?
I was doing my research, and I'm pretty sure it was on Wikipedia somewhere.
Wikipedia. Hey, you go ahead and believe whatever it is you're reading.
All right.
Not aware of any trilogy. No, all I know is that we recorded an album and we're going to do a world tour. That's what I know. I'm not aware of anything. No one's told me anything about that. So I think that's somebody just typing their own stuff in there. You know, anybody can type in any information on those things. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, JK's is like me, read it. And
yeah, you know, I mean, I've gone and read a Wikipedia on me, and I'm thinking, this is a joke. But I'm not going to change anything. I'm going to, like, make people believe what they want to believe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I read that, you know, someone said it. Well, you know, you can, they suggest you edit it if there's something that's not right in it. You know, you can correct it. I'm like, fuck, I ain't correcting nothing. They can believe whatever they read. You know what I mean? Yeah. Nothing on you. I'm just like, I just read that. I'm thinking, oh, you know, like, I'm not going to change anything. People can believe what they want to believe. I'm not aware of any trilogy. I know that this was our we had a 10 album record deal with Ruben, and this is the last record of that deal. I'm sure we'll probably have to renegotiate if we do anything with Rick Rubin. We'll probably, you know, if anything, we'd have to talk to Ruben about doing another record. That would be the extent of another record. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I've never heard anything about a trilogy. That means that we would have to come out with an album every year.
Yeah.
The next 2 years, and I don't think that's happening. We're gonna be touring all through next year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're gonna start a U.S. tour in the beginning of the year. I'm gonna do summer festivals in Europe, and then do a fall tour in Europe also. So yeah, we're gonna be pretty busy, and unless they have new material that they've already got written, and then we can start working on. If we do a record, it won't be until I'm probably 12. I mean, this is what? No, I'd be until 11. 2-11. We'll see what happens.